Just in and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Shift and Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjoy, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, this is Shift and Steer, and I want to tell you one thing. Welcome to the party, pal. And, hey... You know what? We've got some fun stuff to talk about today. Aaron's been out on a safari of sorts, and I've been out driving around the desert, and I also drove a Tesla, so I'm going to tell you about my experience in a Tesla. But we got some other fun stuff to talk about. Matt's sitting here, Aaron's sitting here, and I'm sitting here. So let's get rolling with Shift and Steer. Guys, how you doing today?
No.
Where are you, in a hotel room somewhere?
Yeah, I'm down in Napa. Just finished our rally, so
that's why it's so crystal clear. He's in a hotel room.
Yes.
Do you go back home to weather, or are we done with that? Because we're done with it here in LA.
Yeah, we got about a foot and a half or so, and. I'm going to have to leave the car down here because I can't drive it home. So I'll see if Dad's got some space or one of my buddies down in the Bay Area and leave it here.
Oh, no, wait a minute. What do you mean leave it there? How do you get home?
Well, we brought two cars. So I drove.
You drove two cars. So you're really helping the environment. You're going on rallies with two cars. Okay, I got you.
Hey, you know what? This is a 750-mile rally. And each day,
so you drove 1500 miles essentially,
right? Yeah, exactly. But each day I had a quarter to a third of a tank in that little Mini Cooper left. And most of the guys have to fill up two or three times in the day. So
tell everybody doesn't know what the rally is and where it goes and everything like that.
But hold on. How much fuel does the Mini Cooper hold?
It only holds, I think, less than 7 gallons.
I was going to say, it got to be like 7 or 8 gallons.
It's okay. Five. I think there's a 5 gallon tank and a 7 gallon tank. I think I had the extended range tank, which is 7 gallons.
Okay.
But yeah,
I wouldn't get me very far at all in my trip. No.
For those of you that don't know, every year I participate in the Napa Valley 750 rally, which my childhood friend and I and a couple guys co-founded. All the proceeds go to the St. Helena Memorial Hospital Fund, which is kind of a specialty fund for specialty work. During COVID, we were able to fund a group of folks to go and vaccine people in their homes, and especially the elderly or people who were unable to go to the hospital and things like that. It's really specific. There's no administrative fees. We write a check straight to the foundation and it goes straight to service. So it's pretty cool, but there's a lot of neat cars. It's kind of an extension of, well, I don't want to say an extension, but we kind of designed it as an extension to the Peak to Peak rally in Colorado, which has been going on for, I don't know, 20 or 30 years that my friend Rick has always participated in. And we wanted to bring them out here and show them a 5-star rally in the Napa Valley. They're a wonderful, wonderful group of fine people, and their philanthropy is just pure gold. It's amazing. So Rick has really opened up the Napa Valley with his friends and relationships and contacts, and we eat at some of the best restaurants, and the wineries all accommodate us and donate amazing wines and time to this, and it's just spectacular. And this year I drove the Mini because I couldn't get the Morgan or my trailer or anything out of the shop because literally it snowed the morning that I left. So Misha was kind enough to clear the driveway and part of the road so I can get a running start as I kind of gathered up the Mini and off we went.
Well, and it looks like you had some wet weather, so it's probably good you didn't have the Morgan.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a trooper, and Misha is a trooper, and we would have driven the Morgan and smiled the whole time. But the Mini was fantastic. The wipers worked, the defroster worked, and our feet were dry the entire time. So it rained about 2 of the 4 days, but it was hard rain. And yes, actually, the visibility in the Morgan probably would have been heavily compromised because it was raining so hard. There was that mist that just didn't allow you to see anything. And the Morgan has aero screens and not wipers. So I might have had to actually lower those to actually be able to see. And that way I could use my fingers to clear my goggles. So, yeah, it would have been challenging. But we did it. And there was a couple roadsters, and they did it.
Speaking of roadsters, though, there's a pretty incredible lineup of cars that you guys had out there. I've been watching, the videos and stuff you've been posting on your on Instagram, and kind of giving us a taste, a lot of the cool detail shots, but giving us a taste of what some of the cars were out there. But this is a pretty high dollar rally you guys are going on.
Yeah.
First of all, did everybody make it or?
Yeah, it's a 5-figure entry fee, and everybody made it. Actually, the little Austin Healey, the good one, had some overheating stuff, but he ended up every day he'd go back, fiddle with some stuff and meet us at lunch. I mean, I don't think we trailered anybody home except one little Porsche got literally drowned. Water was coming in his car so badly that 2 inches of water was sloshing back and forth in his 356. So he had to go back because it was electrical.
How did that happen? Didn't he have any door gaskets or what?
it's a roadster.
It's a roadster. Okay, yeah, you didn't say that. Okay.
Yeah, and the temporary roof just wasn't holding.
You know, we drove roadsters back in the day at Boyd's. We'd take customers' cars cross country and stuff. And I'm sorry, I've never been a fan of taking a nice car without a top out in the rain. And I know people do it. I know we've done it, but
Bruce Meyer, famously from the Peterson Museum, he did his rally thing. I forgot what it was. And Pete Shaporis, if you remember back in the day, is like, oh, what a great time to take the little green hot rod roadster out. And he came back with like a damn near medical condition, just the sunburn. And I was like, oh my God. And he looked like he was wearing a hat. And it was just, he's like, I put on sunscreen. I was like, when? The day you left? And then never.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like what happened? Reapply. Terrible.
It's a thing. So my childhood friend Rick and I, when we were in high school, I had that 58 Alfa Romeo, and we used to actually put the top down during the rain. Like once we got through the city and stuff, we would just flip it down because it was easier to let the rain fly over the windshield and not hit you if you're just out on the open road than to have the roof up and constantly trying to keep the water out. I told Kevin, I said, just leave the roof down, man. Put the tonneau up and just,
What was this? What kind of car was this?
It was a 356 Speedster. Okay. But it was super
they
fun.
Call it a bathtub for a reason.
Yes.
Exactly. A bathtub porch for a reason. But it was really fun. And there are some spectacular cars, and it was a lot to ask them to drive them in the rain. I mean, David Donner and his wife had his dad's Ferrari Daytona, drove in the rain. There's a 250 GTE Ferrari, drove it in the rain. Rick's 275 SWB, drove it in the rain. I mean, and then there's a beautiful array of Porsches and Jaguars. And we had an incredible vintage Aston Martin DB4, drove it in the rain. I mean, we had an Emery Porsche, drove it in the rain. I mean, I mean, you know, these are some serious, serious car people, yeah. And they're real car people. They drive their cars. Some of them drove them out from Colorado in the past on these rallies. Vintage Porsches, they drove it from Colorado here and then did the rally and then drove it back.
There's nothing wrong with driving them, man. You got to drive them. But
exactly. Yeah.
At a point.
But you want it to be enjoyable.
And you don't want to ruin the car either.
And I get the rally's cool and the people are cool. The weather less cool. Maybe move this to a little more into spring next year.
We are. Well, as we know, this year has been a big challenge of weather for a lot of the countries. You know, and California is no exception. We always have it this time of year, and it's cold during the morning, hot in the afternoon, and it's been good. But I think we're going to move it to next month next year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as we know, this year marks the new schedule for NHRA, where Pomona usually starts off the Winter Nationals. But it's always just like the weather is so clear and the rain and whatever. So
risky.
They did Florida and I forgot where else they did. And then they moved this a little bit closer to
Phoenix.
April. Phoenix, yeah. So now it looks like it's going to end up being a good strategy, like perfect timing.
They had rain in Phoenix.
They did, yeah. It rained. It rained here, you know. Yesterday, it rained Thursday, and I think Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, as they're out to the track now, already testing. I think it's nice. It's beautiful out now, so I think they literally this schedule change cleared the way by hours because it rained last night, right? So now it's like there's enough sun coming out. It's going to dry the track, and they're going to hit the track today. And then, you know, the crowd will be out mostly Saturday, Sunday, and I think they're going to be fine. So I'm going to go.
And this late into the year in Southern California, Pomona could be like it is this weekend, where it's going to be, you know, low 70s and sunny skies, or it could be 85 degrees, you know. So,
yeah, I think they'd rather be a little warm than a lot wet.
Well, yeah, wet's no good. They can't run in the wet.
They can't run in the wet.
Unlike Aaron, they will not run in the wet.
They will not run. And,
well, I got to tell you, Napa Valley is gorgeous in the wet. I didn't mind it at all. I mean, there was a couple hairy moments where we had to get on the highways, you know, for part of the route. And there was other traffic and big trucks. And that was just very hydroplaning. I hydroplaned a few times. We all did, but it was pretty hairy. But the Napa Valley and here at the Harvest Inn, I mean, you could just imagine. Well, if you look at my Instagram, you'll get a little taste for it. But it is stunning. The contrast that moisture brings is just gorgeous. Really, really.
Yeah, and let's face it. I mean, all of the cars that you were explaining, they need cool weather to run and not overheat. Like all those cars, like a little bit of moisture in the air and some cool weather, and those things. Those things will run really well, but as soon as it just turns, if it's sunlight, just so much sun and 85 degrees, and then, you know, coming off the asphalt, it's more than that. It's a
oil temperature was an issue. It took forever, even for the little mini, to get oil temperature. But some of the big V12s, the Daytonas, and even the 246 Dino that ran our friend Matt, which listens to the show, by the way, shout out to Matt. They're all saying, man, I didn't get oil temperature for, you know, 45 minutes, you know, and it was barely, I thought something was wrong with the gauge, you know.
You know, on those old cars, what we do at the racetrack, and I know you guys have done this, but of course, most of the cars have a separate oil cooler, or at least the racing cars do. We tape them off, just throw a little gaffer's tape or a piece of cardboard.
Yeah, I forget which Ferraris. But I think some of the older Ferraris like that actually had, they're talking about it, that there's a gate and you flip a lever and it closes a gate to try to get some temperature.
Almost like a Venetian blind.
To kind of block it off. I mean, you can do a little bit of the radiator as well, because not just oil temp, like if the car's just not coming up to temp. And like you said, like maybe you guys are driving for, you know, 40 minutes and then, you know, you're like, I'm just going to pull over real quick and pull the piece of the tape off or the cardboard or whatever.
Yeah.
And then go. Sometimes it needs to get up to 10.
Whatever it takes. And these folks all, you know, there's been stuff in the past that everybody's pitched in. You know, we have a great team of knowledge here and experience as well. A lot of our participants are up in age, you know, 70s. We have a couple that's actually in their 80s, And it's pretty cool. And they're all, I mean, the experience that they bring to this is legendary.
Now, how far do you go? What's
750 line? Miles total.
Okay.
Yeah. Give or take.
That's right.
Yeah. But it's kind of a baseline, but you know, it's a hot day.
You went without a hitch. You didn't have any big breakdowns or disasters.
Nope.
And everybody had a smile on their face.
Wait, yeah, where do you go? Where does the rally go? You don't go 750 miles in circles.
Yeah, it goes all over. So we went out towards the Delta at Davis, and then we went up towards Mendocino on the coast. And it always surprises me where we end up. I'm like, whoa, we're all the way out here? Like, we take every back road you can imagine. I mean, Rick and Kevin and a few of the guys really, really, really run this area hard and get to know all the routes. A lot of them, Rick and I used to drive in high school, but they've evolved. Some of them are beautifully repaved. Really some epic stuff. Really some epic stuff. But we kind of stay regional. You know, it's 100+ miles a day, and it's just kind of there and back. It's a long ride out, and then we loop around somewhere nearby for lunch, and then it's usually within an hour drive back after lunch. To rest of the day, and then off to dinner. So it is all about food and good roads. So
yeah,
<It's a focus. laughs>
that's what it's about. What do you mean? That's what everything's about.
Well, I'll tell you. Having C-Tech and Jay Leno's Garage as a sponsor, some of our sponsors are just perfect because we plug the cars in rain or shine, and we drive them rain or shine. And I literally use Jay's repellent. You know his. On the mini, and one of the water just beat it right off. It was great.
Yeah, it's good.
One more time. So, what's the name of the run?
Napa Valley 750. And it's the only one of its kind. You know, a couple, I think Motor Trend or some other publishing company, you know, did some little rally things here, but mostly contemporary cars. This is 1975 and older. And it is the only classic car rally in the Napa Valley. That we know of in existence or that's ever been done, at least on a regular basis. It's very unique and kind of one of a kind. It's pretty cool.
That's interesting. That'd be the only
I know, right? You would think, oh my God, they must run through here all the time. No, there's some mixed groups and some cars and coffee kind of things, but we're it, you know, and we're getting some pretty incredible press. I mean, we've been in some pretty, pretty high-end magazines and such. It's you know, for just two high school buddies throwing something together, it does feel thrown together sometimes.
And now you guys are on Shift and Steer. Like, where can you go
cool.
from here?
Basically, yeah, I know, right.
Hey, as we mentioned, check out Aaron's Instagram because he's been posting a bunch of cool videos on there of the run. You can kind of experience it yourself along with him, and it's all on there, man. You know, it's cool. That's what's great about this.
Thanks, guys.
Well, while you were doing that,
yeah.
I was driving out to Thermal, to the to Coachella and to the Thermal Club. But I drove it before I get into what I did out there. I drove a Tesla.
Now, and you were saying you haven't driven a Tesla.
I haven't. I've ridden in Teslas. I've been around Teslas. But I've never driven a Tesla.
Well, if you've taken the tube from the Las Vegas Convention Center to the other side of the convention center, you've at least been in a Tesla for, you know, a minute or two.
Yeah, I mean, I've had friends, hey, we jump in their car and go and like that. Actually driving one and for a distance is a lot different. And it gave me a better feel. And now, as we know, Tesla doesn't really do press vehicles or anything like that. So never really had one. So I said, you know what? I'm going to drive out this weekend to Coachella and I'm going to rent one. So I rented one from Avis. And
wow.
And it was great. I mean, first of all,
was it fully charged when they gave it to you? Because every time I rent a car, there's no more full fuel tank. If you notice that, you know, when you used to rent a car, it would be you'd get a full tank every time.
Yeah.
Now it's like they don't give a shit how much fuel is in the car. They're like, fill it up. Don't fill it up. Just bring it back the way it is. I go, but I got shit to do today. I didn't plan on stopping to get gas.
Exactly. So
hopefully they gave you a full charge.
And that's their scam because, oh, you put some gas in it. You don't use it all. Then they get a couple gallons for free. You know?
Yeah.
But
do you have to return it charged?
Well, it's interesting you'd say that. So I get in it and it has an 80% charge. And the guy says to me, now you got to bring it back 70% or more. And I said, really? Because I'm thinking now I've got to charge the car up, you know? And he goes, yeah. He goes, otherwise you get charged, you know, to charge it. And I go, you know, it's like gas. And I go, okay. He goes, but it's free. Your rental, we've got a deal. Avis has a deal. He goes, you go to any Tesla supercharger and it's free. You just plug it in and it goes on our account. He goes, we got a deal. He goes, so you can charge as many times as you want. I go, okay,
that's cool.
Okay.
So I, now this was the base model Tesla 3, the Model 3. So it's not the dual motor. It's not,
right. Well, that's the trip you were going on. You want the range. Might as well get.
Well, yeah. And, but this is supposed to have a 272 mile range. I had range anxiety from the minute I pulled out because you watch that little thing on the screen and it goes from, you know, I pull out, by the time I got out of the garage, it was 79. And I go, wait a minute, I used a percent already. And I'm watching it as I'm driving, 78, 77. I'm going, oh man, you know? And so I get up the next morning and I'm going to head out. Now, for those of you who don't know, Coachella is on the other side from LA of Palm Springs. And I looked, how far is it to where I'm going? And it was, I'm doing my math here, guys.
You already did the trip. Shouldn't you know this?
118 miles.
Okay.
From my house.
Oh, you should be fine.
Okay. So 118 miles, a round trip that's 236 miles. This is supposed to have a 272 mile range, but wait, it was only at 80% when I got it. So I'm going, okay. So I'm driving out there and let's just get into the range first. When I pulled in to the thermal club, I was already down to 30%. So I go, well, I know I'm not going to make it home without a charge. And I thought, they're going to have chargers out there. Oh, yeah, they did. They were full.
They're
I get
full.
There. There's two Teslas. They're charging up. And every time I checked, there was different ones there. I'm like, God damn it, you know. And so I did have range anxiety because I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I got to charge this thing to go home. And that was the first thing. The range is no good. It's not. I mean, if I can, because I was thinking if I was going to drive to Phoenix, I would have had to stop somewhere on the outskirts of Palm Springs, charge it, get it to 100% to make it to the next place, which is like Quartzsite, Arizona. Then get into Phoenix. I mean, that's a bad use of my time. Charging is a waste of time. When I left the track, headed home, and I knew I had to have a charge, Easy brought me to the nearest Tesla supercharger. Well, there's one 6 miles away. So I get on the freeway, I drive, I get off. It's in Indio, and I pull in. I got lucky. 14 chargers in a row. There was one empty spot.
Wow.
That's how it works.
So I back in, and now there's like three other guys sitting there, and they all have this look on their face like, are you done almost? You know, I mean, you know, because they're sitting there waiting. So I back in, jumping on the charger. Here's a positive. I will say all of the electric vehicles that I've driven, the Cadillacs, the Jaguars, the, you know, whatever it is we've talked about, Tesla has their shit together when it comes to chargers. They're fast, efficient, they're easy to use. There's none of this, you know, bull crap with having to run a credit card, not having an account and, you know, download their app and all this shit. Because you've done that when you got the car. And it just, and it tells you right on the screen of the car that how much your charge was and what you're going to get billed. Like I charged it in Indio and brought it back up to 85%. And it said that it would have been charging me $15. So, you know, cheaper than gas. It was fast. It took 15 minutes and I was back on the road. So that part of it was good.
But by comparison, if you would have put 10 gallons of fuel in there at almost $5 a gallon, that's $50.
That's what I'm saying. It was a good
compared to $15, you know.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons that I wanted to drive the Tesla. Second of all, I said, I can rent a Tesla. Avis had them on special for $55. And I said, and I don't have to gas it up when I bring it back, right? So so it was $55. And it, you know, it was a value for me. Now let's talk about driving it. It's fun to drive, it's fast, it's smooth, it's easy. Takes a little bit getting used to, like everybody says, you know, you don't really need to use the brake.
One pedal, right? Yeah.
You just pedal that thing.
Yeah, I turn off one pedal. I don't like one pedal.
I didn't even know you could do that.
I just didn't
use the brake. I just would feather it off and let the motor stop it. The other thing,
I would have said, try it anyway. I'm glad you tried it, because the one pedal driving, you should try it and experience to see what you think of it. And
yeah,
I didn't like it either.
But I end up turning it off. But I've tried it. Yeah.
I will say the worst thing in that car was trying to set the mirrors. What a pain in the ass. Rather than having a button, you know, you had to go to the screen, find what you wanted to do, and then choose the mirror, and then go back over to the steering wheel and do it, and then go back to the screen, by which this time has reset. So you got to start all over again, go back. And I mean, I was like, come on now. You know, that was a pain in the ass just to set the mirrors for me.
Right. Yeah.
The rear view, the rear window, not a lot of visibility out of that rear window. I mean, you really don't. You got kind of a very tunnel view right there. But once you get used to the turning on the turn signal you've got that little screen that goes on the, you know, to show you your blind spot, but, you know, once you get used to it, that's pretty good as well. And, it was a pleasure to drive. It was easy to drive, efficient, but charging, as we've said again and again on here, a pain in the ass. And, but what was funny was I was going out to the Thermal Club, which, for those of you that don't know, Thermal Club, if you look it up, is a premier private racetrack where you can actually buy a home site, you can buy a building, and it's grown just since the last time I was out there. Now there's a lot more buildings where you can just leave your car. They do the maintenance. You call and say, hey, I'm showing up, have my GT3 ready, or am I Ferrari ready? Or BMW has a whole driving school out there. In the center, they have a fantastic two shifter cart courses and then the big course, and with, you know, multiple pit areas, and the home sites are over the top. I mean, it's some of the houses I drove through the neighborhood are just so phenomenal, and nobody's at them. You know, you just know that, oh yeah, that's just when I fly in my plane and I, you know, go out to drive my Bugatti, you know. It's, but it's pretty crazy. But the track is fantastic, but it was funny. I pull in and I'd been there maybe a half hour, and about four different people had said, oh yeah, I got a Tesla. Oh, I got a Tesla. You know, it's like everybody. But now I will say about 50% of those people said, oh yeah, I've got a Plaid. You know, they all have, you know, but anyway, so now why was I out there? Well, I was invited out there to drive Ferrari Challenge cars. And, we had a hole in the weather. It'd been pouring rain all week. I was like, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And then Saturday and Sunday was open, and I could have gone out for 2 days. And I know most people will be like, you know, you could have gone out 2 days and you only went out 1 day. But same reason I'm not going to the drag races, Matt, or to Good Guys, is because I'm under a hot deadline right now with getting my warehouse in order so I can move all my crap into my warehouse because of the remodel at my house that's still going on. So I've got to get that done. But I went out on a Sunday, and you get there. They've got all the 488 challenge cars. They had four of them out there. And one of the pits was the Ferrari driving school, and all of the owners out there, and they had all of the street cars. And then on the other side were the challenge cars. And so we went over to the building, got suited up, got a helmet, gloves, racing uniform, and shoes and the whole deal. And then went back over to the pits, and the driver instructor goes over the whole track with you. And he kind of shows you everything on a little schematic. Then he takes you out for some hot laps. And then after the hot laps, then you get some seat time. And I will say that the driving instructor, he was much faster than I could do.
That's weird.
I mean,
did you get car sick as a passenger? I have a hard time.
No, man. I love
the challenge cars. I don't know what it is, but as a passenger in the challenge cars, I always get horribly car sick. And it's like, okay.
Well, they're very abusive. You know, I mean, yeah. They really are. I mean, you know, but you're strapped in, but.
Someone told me it's a sitting position. The sitting position in the challenge car, it can be very disruptive to your internal balance.
For me, it's straight up a trust issue. I get in any race car with an instructor, and I'm just like, do whatever you want to do, and I have the best time. I'll get in a street car with somebody else driving, a friend of mine, I'm like, and I hate every second of it.
Yeah,
I just don't like it. I don't like people on the road. Like, I just don't. Just the lack of control makes me sick.
I will admit one thing, that the first lap, it's kind of like, okay, I want to see how this guy does, and I'm thinking, if he balls this thing up, you know, I mean, and but he was awesome, and he comes in so hard to this one and just bam, hits the brakes. I mean, where you're just like, even with the straps on, you know, and then. And it's funny. It's like, okay, now when I come into this, I stay in fourth because I want to come out of it hard. You go down to third. Okay. You go down to third. And then, you know, and then he's like, right through the S's right here. Now, you know, you can go a little on the curb, but not as much as I do, you know, and it's funny. You're coming through right where he said that. And you see all of the rubber and the skid marks going off into the, you know, off the track where guys have come in a little too hot on the, you know, on the
rumble strips.
Yeah, on the rumble strip, and threw it sideways, and then, you know, but there was out there a bunch of big wing BMWs. There were a whole gaggle of GT3 Porsches that sounded so good, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And here's the big news of the weekend. You guys are all going out to drive.
Yes.
I've got an invite for us all to come back. We're go out in June. And we are going to do a shift and steer Man Seeks Adventure. And we are all driving the challenge cars. And that was why I went out there, was not just to get time, but I met everybody, and I was able to confirm it and put it down. And the reason they want us to come back in June is it'll be a little warmer. But we'll be able to have more seat time. He said, because, in the spring, they're really busy, lots of people. But we're all going. Dave Merrick's going to go with us. So it's basically going to be all of us. We will do a combined show where we're going to interview the guys from Ferrari. We're going to do, but we are actually going to drive the cars. So,
that's great.
Yeah, no, that'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Thermal's actually a good track for that because – you know, you go out there and it's not your car and it's very high horsepower and you get intimidated by the vehicle. But I think the track allows you to focus on your driving and the vehicle a little bit more because there's no big elevation changes or surprises, you know, like at Laguna Seca or something like that. So maybe not quite as an eventful track as some of the other ones that are out there, but for a driving school program or something like what you're talking about, I think it's pretty good. Like it's fairly flat. You can really kind of see ahead of you. And you guys know, years ago, I went out there with Lotus.
Right, when you drove the F1 car.
Yeah, so we drove Evoras. We drove Evoras for like a day and a half, and then they brought out the Lotus V10 F1 car, detuned a little bit, but I don't know who could tell, right? And
a detuned F1 car, yeah.
So first they brought out, I'd say the tandem car, but they have an F1 car where the driver's in the middle and sort of the pontoons on the sides are just gutted and people can sit in them. So three-person car. So you do the first couple of laps in that car as a passenger, and then you get into the F1 car, and it's very interesting. They start it from the back of the car with looks like a giant drill with like a huge prop shaft on it, right? It's like a 6 foot long drill. And they start it from there, and there is a clutch pedal, but they said you just use the clutch in first gear to get the car moving. Then after that, don't touch it. You just paddle shift it. And you basically, you know, limited in time, and the car is expensive and all that stuff. So you just do two laps as fast as you can. And they're like, whatever you do, don't stall the car, because
I was going to ask you about that. If stalling the car was like
a couple people did. Actually, I was out there with Jesse Combs at the time as well.
Okay.
I think she unfortunately stalled the car. And they got a bunch of dudes get in a minivan. They go out there, they got to bring out the big drill and the prop shaft, and they got to start the thing up. And then they just like, they tell you to just bring it in because you've used up your time. You use up all of your time if you stall it. So, incredibly fast. And, there is this nice long straightaway on that track. And I will tell you that, like, when you see in the movies, you know, like they're trying to simulate speed, right? And it gets kind of blurry, sort of tunnel vision thing going on. That was the first car in my life where that was realistic to me. Not only that, but because you're putting on all the universal gear, you know, just the helmet off the shelf, the gloves, the driving suit off the shelf, it's all a little baggy. It's all a little loose. It's not fitted for you. When you accelerate that quickly, and there's the tachometer is just a stream of lights on top of the steering wheel, and it's not like and bang, it's like it's just like bang, bang, bang. It's just like you see the lights go and it's red. So on that straightaway, you're like you're like almost like rapid firing because it's going so fast. And it gets blurry, and your helmet starts to lift and pull off your head.
Yeah.
Because it's not the right kind of helmet. And you're like, my head's going to pop off. And it was interesting when we did that, because we drove the Evoras, and the whole time you're driving the Evora, they're given some basic instruction. Like, if you're hearing the tire squeal, you're losing traction.
Yeah.
So you either need to reduce throttle or reduce steering input, go a little straighter. 2 days of them telling us that. Then you get in the F1 car and they go, all right, so everything we told you about the Evora, it's the opposite in the F1 car. If you start to get a little loose or you hear a little tire squeal, apply throttle, because the downforce is so great on that car, you're just not going fast enough. And so when you get out there and drive the challenge cars, it'll be interesting to... I'm going to ask questions about the aero. I'm going to be like, how much downforce does this car have? Like, if we get a little loose, do we back off or do you increase throttle? You got to roll into, you can't slap the throttle.
You'll,
but I'm curious if the aero is going to be.
It's pretty heavy, but it's not like what you're talking about. But I mean, like, you know, the one hairpin, there's that one hairpin there. And, you know, and he goes, I can't say it enough. Make sure the steering wheel's straight when you nail the brakes for this. You know, I mean, he goes, so many people, they'll have it turned a little bit, you know, or when they come out of it, they'll be turning a little. He goes, make sure it's straight when you nail, you know, and, you know, all the instruction, you got it all going through your head at the same time. And I heard him saying to one guy out there that was driving, and he had his own Ferrari Challenge car, by the way. There were two guys out there. One guy had two Ferrari Challenge cars and the other guy had one, and they're in the deal, you know, and they were practicing for the races. And the one guy with the one car, he goes, okay, here's what you're doing wrong. And the guy goes, yeah. He goes, when that GT3 Porsche was coming up on you, he goes, you were looking at the screen, not driving the car. And he goes, don't look at the screen. It doesn't matter what's going on the screen. You know, because they got a camera that shows them what's coming up behind them, you know? And he goes, we're coming into the corner and you're looking at what's coming up behind you. He goes, don't worry about what's coming up behind you, you know? I mean,
yeah.
And I think the instructor's thinking, because I'm in that fucking car, you know?
Yeah, right. I'm riding with you and I don't want to go over the edge on this thing.
Exactly, you know? And when I was out there, some dude put a Lamborghini off into the gravel and, when they were bringing it back on the flatbed, he had kind of messed up the front fascia. But I think worse than that was he was sliding sideways, and I think the tire beads were kind of like coming off, and you could hear the tires were full of gravel.
I went off the big track. In my 2005 Mustang, I went off the big track at Willow Springs and broke the beads, filled up my wheels with rocks. The tire guy on site popped it off, cleared it out and put it back together. And I was fine. I was good to go, 30 minutes later. But yeah, when you're sliding off. But by the way, thermal, not the worst track in the world to go off on, right?
No, it's not, pretty forgiving. Yes,
I mean, we were doing laps at Laguna Seca, and a guy, unfortunately, in his Aston Martin bandage.
It's never good when you go off at Laguna Seca. It's never good.
There's not a good place to go off. And Matt just froze up for some reason. I don't know why. But
Brad, I have a question for you, real quick, with the Tesla thing. I was thinking of it. I wonder if Tesla has considered in like their self-driving car thing, because I know there's a lot of self-driving stuff going on in the car. If they would have a system for charging where the cars would rotate, like one would leave, another one would come in automatically as part of the system that Tesla provides to make charging more efficient. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Well, I am not following you. You mean that it's kind of like scheduled or something?
Yeah. So basically you would make a reservation for a charger, or you would enter a charger. And if there's cars waiting to charge and there's urgency, it would self-drive out of charging. Like there'd be a way to connect and disconnect automatically, you know, and it would, when it was done charging, it would leave and park in a designated parking area. And then the next Tesla on schedule would enter, right?
If you left,
to maximize efficiency. So while you're at the racetrack in specialty areas where it's more of a controlled environment. So if you're at the racetrack and there's a bunch of Teslas there and there's no charging available, you know, that racetrack facility is very high end. It's private. So it has accommodations.
Think about a drive-in
and drive out system automatically.
At some point, if you had that like software just went in and it went into the nozzle itself, it'd be great if you could be like at home and go, it's 7:30. My Tesla is heading down to the, and it just drove itself down, got charged and came back.
Especially if you live in a residence like that, where it's a private residence, there's not a lot of traffic. There's not a lot of people. There's not a lot of congestion or conflicts. That would be, I wonder if they've considered something like that, but that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's I can see why people are buying them. They're pretty nice. They're pretty basic. And you know what? It's kind of funny. We've driven all these other cars and they keep having all the stuff, you know, like a regular car. You get in a Tesla and you realize how basic and how it has everything. It has heated seats. It has, but like a real good example of that, Aaron, are the air conditioner vents.
Right.
Air conditioner vents have been the same in every car. They articulate, you can close them, you can shut them. In the Tesla, no go. If you hear all those beeps, we lost Matt. His connection froze up, and I don't think he can get back on. So Sorry, Matt, we're going to miss you the rest of the show, but it's almost over anyway. So, but
okay, tell us about driving the challenge car. How was it?
They said I was the fastest driver they've ever had at Thermal Raceway, and they were amazed by my abilities. So we'll just leave it at that. It was such a good time, and I appreciate those guys allowing me to come out. But what's really going to be great is when we all go out in June. And do hot laps and get to have a show right from there and show everybody the facility, show everybody the cars, and we'll camera them all up as much as they allow us. I don't know what they'll allow. We'll go from there. So it'll be fun.
We talked about doing this a couple of years ago. So this, I'm so glad that you put it all together. Thank you, Brad.
I had the invite to come out to kind of go over because Thermal is a private club.
Right.
So it's kind of like they wanted to meet me and find out what we were all about because they're a little protective of their club and they want to make sure. And so we were able to put it together. We had a great, we met over lunch and it was great. I appreciate them having us out and, our friends at Ferrari, our friends at Thermal. So watch for that. We'll be doing it and we're all going out together. Before we wrap it up, we lost Matt. And I was telling you guys about this YouTube channel that I found, and it is just absolutely hilarious. It's called Just Rolled In. That's the name. And it started as a Reddit thread, and mechanics from all over would send in clips. And now it's on YouTube. You got to check it out. It makes you just go, oh my God. First of all, it makes you think, do I ever want to buy anybody else's car when you see the stuff that's done? We were talking about Teslas. There was one on the one I was watching just before the show. A guy rolled in and he said he wanted his tires rotated because his car was pulling. And it was a Tesla. Okay? Not a cheap car. The mechanic goes, customer requests, tires rotated, car's pulling to the right. He walks around, pulls the tire off, tire's completely bald, and the guy had taken duct tape and taped it around it like 100 times to like for tread. And the guy looks at the camera and he goes, customer declined to have new tires put on the car.
Oh my God.
Another one was a guy pulls in with a Toyota Corolla, says customer states that he wants the tires rotated, the oil changed, and because he's going on a cross-country road trip. And he goes, here's what we found when we went to change the tires. And they take it, and they got the camera, and they take the tire, and literally the entire cartridge, the up front, just went back and forth about 2 inches sloppy. And he goes, this car needs new struts, new everything. Customer declined and went on his road trip anyway. And
oh my God.
Then you get it to the extreme where this guy pulls in and he says, customer says he's lost oil pressure. They put it up on the rack and they show that there is a street sign sticking out of the oil pan where he'd run over a street sign and just kept going. And it's just like sliced into the oil pan. Another one was, and I'm just giving you a handful. One of them was a car that said that the truck just wanted to meander all over the road, and it was a brand new 2022 Bronco. And it says it's all over the road and will not, stay in the lane. And the guy goes, well, as you can see, he's got some really big tires on here. They're really deep dish. That doesn't help. But let's look underneath and see what we got. And he had used bricks for the spacers in the lift kit. And they were like breaking and coming apart. And it's just like,
oh my God.
Then there's some crazy ones. Like a guy goes, Customer states that there's a problem when they try to use the key to unlock the car. They did not show what kind of car it was. But the guy walks up, he puts the key in, turns it, and the car goes, and starts. I've never seen this in my life. And he pulls it out, turns it, car goes off, does it again, and the car tries to say, he goes, how does that even happen? You know, it's like, just,
oh my God.
One of them, though, brand new Bentley. Customer brought this car in for two new batteries. And then they open the door and they go, but did not mention anything about the problem with the interior. The entire dash, the seats, the center console, back seats were all covered in mold.
Oh, flood car. Wow.
And, well, yeah, but, you know, you're driving it around and just, and then I'll give you one other one. There was one where, trying to think of it now, that was really crazy. But it's just amazing what
people do. You think any of them are staged? I mean, who cares if they're staged? But do you think any of them are kind of staged?
No, because they're really, really basic. You can tell they're at like some dealership or something like that. I mean, they're really not. They're not produced, you know?
It's, so it's like, just stuff that people have sent in. It's a collection of.
It's like mechanics just send them in. And it's just.
Wow.
It's just so nuts, you know?
Oh,
and
that's
and
great.
Some of them are just sad, like. Guy brought me his VW. He'd had it at a restoration shop and complaining that it's making all kinds of noises. And he said they took the wheel off and the wheel bearings were in backwards and not even greased. And it was a brand new restoration. And then he goes, customer also stated that the motor was making noise and that the mechanic had just done a valve job.
Oh.
On a VW.
Right, yeah.
So, you know,
well,
it's just...
I will tell you, I took one of my Porsches in, and he had told me that he had done something that doesn't exist on a Porsche.
Right.
And charged me a lot of money for it, and it was a big problem.
Yeah. It's, but it just makes you realize how people destroy these cars. One car was a lady brought it in and said that her car was shooting grease out of the engine compartment. And the guy looks and he goes, she had put in vegetable oil in the windshield wiper thing. I mean, it's just like, it's like crazy stuff.
Well, you see that stuff on social media about someone that goes to the car wash and they open the door and they use the sprayer on the inside of the car. I mean, people do. You don't understand the mentality and not including mental illness that people think this is fine. It's great. You know, it's like a shed. You hose it out. You know,
it's like you just, you know, I mean, we've been around cars our whole lives and we've experienced them and we know people and stuff. But like the one where the guy came in and said his motor had no performance and it just seemed like it was getting worse and worse. And they took the oil pan off and it was just like jello. It was like, you know, and he said customer told him that he'd had the car for 40,000 miles and never put oil in it. He only uses high quality oil treatments.
Oh, wow.
And so all he ever put in it was these, like, you know, oil additives and stuff. And never put oil in it.
I mean, you know, hey, as a new car owner, when I was a teenager, I think I told the story before, but I had a little economy car, and I tried to change the oil myself, and I got under there before a trip to Los Angeles from the Bay Area, and I drained the oil. And then I filled, you know, I put the plug back in with the new gasket and filled it. This was pre-YouTube and all that, obviously. And filled it with oil, according to the manual, and drove all the way to L.A. And it was making noise and it was giving me trouble and blah, blah, blah. And so I actually took it to Claudio's because that's who I knew.
Oh, yeah.
So I took it to Claudio and I think Franco worked on it. And we lost both of them. We lost Franco this last year. And of course, Ed, and I cannot believe you made it all the way to LA. You emptied all the transmission oil and you overfilled, you know, the engine oil. And
you took the wrong drain plug out.
I emptied the transmission oil, man. And it was a stick, but it took transmission oil standard and emptied it and then overfilled the engine oil as if you had drained it. And I didn't float the valves. It's amazing. In a little BMW 320, it's amazing that I did not blow either of those. And they dumped the oil in the engine, put new oil in the engine, and then added oil to the transmission. And I drove it all the way back to the Bay Area and never had a problem with the car, with the engine or transmission, ever.
You're lucky. Mean,
it's like, what the? You talk about luck. I think I was just 16 or something, you know. But
go check out Just Rolled In, because there was another guy on there that brought his car in and said his brakes were shot. And they took the wheels off and they were literally shot. They had bullet holes in them.
Oh my God.
The whole car. There was like 4 or 5 bullet holes in it, and the brake rotors had holes in them.
My friend Nick gave me a rotor. I have it on the wall at the shop. The whole face of the rotor is gone, and it's just those little rods. Are they rivets? So it's sandwiched in between, and like the casting has these little gates and ridges and dots, you know.
Yeah.
And that's all that's showing. It's you're looking at it going, what is this, a sundial or something? I mean, it's just the whole face of the rotor is gone. All the flat stuff gone. I'll send you a picture when I go to the shop.
It's worth watching. It's one of those YouTube channels where you're like, oh my God, I got to watch another one. Oh, I got to watch another one. You know, you're just like, really? You know, people actually do this. Like the lady who drove her car with the parking brake on and pulled into the dealership. Tires are flat. I mean, they still hold in there, but they're totally flat spotted. And she had done it for so long that there's a hole in the differential. You know, she's blown up the whole route. And then there was a work truck where some guy had driven it into the dealership and said that it was making noise. And they found out that some employee that he'd fired had gone, after he got fired, went out in the yard and took a Sawzall and cut through both sides of his rear end, the axles, everything. He drove it in on, you know, it's four-wheel drive. So he drove it in on four-wheel drive. And they're literally, you just see shwoop, shwoop, where the guy just went.
Wow.
Just craziness. So, hey, speaking of craziness, listen to us every week. And you can find us at shiftandsteer.com, where you can pull down every episode. And you can also find us on Apple, iTunes, everything. And on Instagram at shiftsteermedia. Aaron, give them the heads up on what your Instagram is so they can see those videos.
I'm all over the internet with as my name, Aaron Hagar, and the website's The Rat Runner's Garage. You can find Matt at Boaterator and drinkbravago.com, right? Is his other...
You didn't hear? He drank all the Bravago.
Oh, okay. Used to drink Bravago. Might be able to
I tell
to
him,
drink
yeah, don't use your own product. But he does. So, everybody, can find me at Bradley_Fanshaw. And, hey, I am putting up on Bond Speed Wheels on Instagram a bunch of – I'm clearing my warehouse out, guys. And I am putting first-quality wheels for $125. Make them into hose reels. Use them for rollers in your shop. Not all of them can be used. If they can't be used as a roller in your shop, it'll say. It'll say it's a hose reel only. But it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with wheels. It means they weren't ever welded, and I will not sell them. I do something to them to make them where they can never be used. So anyway.
You drill holes?
Actually put a notch in the back of the rim.
Okay.
I just cut a little notch so that it can never air up.
Smart.
I don't want to take any chances. Because I watched that video, man. See what people will do.
Got some ideas.
Some guy will take all weld and go, I can patch that up, man. I can make that work again, you know? So
I bought a truck that way. It blew on the way home because someone had JB welded the entire back half of the radiator, the whole top section that gets soldered on to the webbing in the middle. They JB welded the entire back. I mean, like like 14 inches of it, and it blew out.
Just... Okay, I'll give you one. It was on one of these episodes. Guy brings his car in, and it's not running. And he said, well, what was leading up to it? He goes, I had an oil leak, and I tried to fix it. And he goes, well, what'd you do? He goes, I put some of that JB Weld stuff in the oil. He put like a couple gallons of it, and they take the heads off. Everything was just clogged shut. Every guy. It was just.
Read the instructions, people. Read the instructions. Just watch YouTube University. That's all you got to do. There's someone knows what they're doing out there.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Matt, we missed you at the end of the show, but that happens in today's world. So everybody, thanks for listening. Shift and Steer. We are out of here.
Jeez.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.